This Saturday is Learn to Homebrew Day. Whether you've been brewing for 2 weeks or two decades, the American Homebrewers Association invites you to find a brew site near you and help spread the joy of homebrewing. Hundreds of breweries, homebrew retailers, and clubs participate in this annual celebration. Visit the AHA's website to find a Learn to Homebrew Day event in your area. HomebrewersAssociation.org. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, November 5th, 2015. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, we go behind the scenes at Apple Blossom Brewing Company to get the details on the cream ale collaboration brew based on my homebrew recipe. We'll talk to Marcus and Sammy from Apple Blossom and call Steve Wilkes in for a comparative tasting with my homebrew and the professional version. If you're new to homebrewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. And if you buy any of our DVD combos, you get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is Basic Brewing, all one word. We also have a Basic Brewing Radio and Basic Brewing Video page on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing. We're on the Google Plus as well. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our BasicBrewing.com site. You know how it works. Whenever you think of Amazon shopping, stop. Go to BasicBrewing.com. Click on the Amazon link there. It'll take you back to Amazon, where you can shop at your heart's content. It won't cost you any extra, and you'll be helping us to bring you the show. We greatly appreciate your support. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site as well. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on the iTunes thingy and our Android app on Amazon.com. We have a Windows Phone app. We're on the BlackBerry podcast directory. We're on the Stitcher app as well. If you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support. Thanks to everybody who's done so already. We got lots of stuff to talk about before we get into the interviews this week. First of all, I want to ask you to send in your brewing disaster stories for this year's disaster show. It's usually the last show of the year when Steve and I get together to read your tales of woe. The good news is that you can win prizes. You can turn your tales of woe into prizes if your story is among our favorites that we read. A lot of you have already sent in disaster stories, and I've been saving them all year long. They come in, you know, pretty much, you know, after the new year, they start coming in. So send in your disaster stories to james@basicbrewing.com. There's something exciting shaping up in New Zealand. Organizers are putting together the first New Zealand Homebrewers Conference in Nelson, New Zealand. That's where they grow the hops. The conference is set for March 18th through the 20th of next year. And they're lining up speakers now, and there's a crowdfunding campaign going on where you can buy your tickets. I have some skin in the game, because if they raise enough money, they want to bring me down there to New Zealand, which is very exciting. So if you're down in that area or want to be down in that area, March 18th through 20th, you can find out the details at nzhc.nz/tickets. That's nzhc.nz/tickets. They are well on their way to meeting their goal. But if you're down in that part of the world, this looks like something you don't want to miss. There's a video on the site to tell you all about it. So check out nzhc.nz for all the details. And I hope to get the chance to see you there. Let's look into the mailbag for another less happy bit of news. Andy up in New Jersey writes, "I'm writing you today because of a fellow homebrewer in need. Brett Mullen, the owner of a local South Jersey homebrew shop, Brew Your Own Bottle, and fellow member of the Barley Legal Homebrewers, has hit some hard times. Andy says, earlier this week, Brett was diagnosed with lymphoblastic leukemia and lymphoma, an extremely rare and aggressive form of cancer. What this means for him is 2 years of active treatment, with the first 6 weeks being in quarantine and another 2 to 5 week quarantine soon following that one. Unfortunately, Brett will be away from his wife and 2 kids, friends, homebrew shop, and homebrew community for the better part of 2 to 3 months. Andy says following that, he'll have another 2 years of arduous treatment. Fortunately, he is keeping his spirits high and is referring to this as a minor speed bump. Andy up in New Jersey says, I was hoping that you could reach out to your listeners for support for Brett. A good friend has set up a GoFundMe page to set up a collection to help alleviate the costs that he's going to incur in the near future. The page can be found here at GoFundMe.com/Brett Mullen. That's GoFundMe.com/BrettMullin. And he says, Brett is a pillar of the South Jersey homebrewing community, continually going out of his way to support its members, and he deserves the same from us. Even a few dollars can help. So thanks, Andy, for sending that in. And definitely our best goes out to Brett and his family. Switching gears yet again, I want to thank everyone for your continued support in buying our stuff from our store. In fact, I recently made another order for even more DVDs. I ran out of our extract and partial mashing DVDs, so I had to. So my shelves are overflowing here in the studio. So that's good news. So to get some of this new stock out the door and under your Christmas tree, or whatever tree you have, I am lowering the price on our DVDs. Now $9.95 for single DVDs, $17.95 for double combos, $25.95 for the triple combo, and $29.95 for the quad. And you still get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with any DVD combo. So check those out at basicbrewingshop.com. And thanks to everybody for continuing to buy those DVDs. We've sold a bunch of them, and I hope that they're helping you out. And, of course, now that Halloween is past, you need to be proactive. You need to brew your beers for the holidays. Think ahead and brew now for those get-togethers with family and friends. Our friends Desiree and Dave at High Gravity in Tulsa have made it really easy for you to get your ingredients. The Build Your Own Beer page on highgravitybrew.com lets you select all your ingredients from one page, including adjuncts, yeast, priming options, fruit flavorings, and purees. You can even name your beer. And if you haven't played with this thing, it's really cool. It's a great tool for looking like you're working if your computer monitor faces away from your office door, if you know what I mean. You can have a studious look on your face entering in your ingredients. You can get flat rate shipping of $7.99 on most items from High Gravity. And if you're new to home brewing, High Gravity has a build your own starter kit that lets you add on to the basic kit all on one page. And of course, you can check out several electric brewing systems to meet your needs. From brew to bag to two-barrel, three-tier systems. Check it all out at highgravitybrew.com. Now, I've told you in the past about Apple Blossom Brewing Company brewing my cream ale recipe. Very exciting to see my homebrew recipe scaled up in the way that they did. And the brew day went really well, as you'll hear. It made its debut on Nitro a couple weeks ago there at Apple Blossom, and it was very tasty and popular. In fact, the Nitro version has already sold out. That's the bad news. The good news is that the CO2 version is waiting in the wings, and I'm told it should make its appearance before long, so there should be plenty of delicious cream ale here soon. This week, we go behind the scenes with Marcus Ward and Sammy Stevenson of Apple Blossom to talk about their process. And we talked to Sammy about some legal issues that they're dealing with here in Northwest Arkansas and in Arkansas in general. And, of course, our buddy Steve helps compare the homebrew version with the commercial. Well, Marcus Ward, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Hi, happy to be here. In my own brewery, yeah.
Welcome to your own space.
Yeah.
So what are we looking at here?
Yeah, we've got a 10-barrel system from Specific Mechanical. I'm really happy with it. We've got a mash tun with the rake and plow, Grant, and a kettle. Also a 15-barrel hot liquor tank, which is a giant fancy hot water heater.
And so far the brew day has gone flawless, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, it's an easy system to reproduce results. It's nice.
Now, I'm extremely interested in this brew day because you're brewing up a recipe based on mine, the cream ale, which I was excited when Evan from Apple Blossom approached me and asked me to do a collaboration beer. You guys have done a bunch of collaborations recently.
Yeah, we've been trying to do one every month this year. Last year we did one with Tanglewood Brewery. They've since shut down, but the former owner, we did that brew again this year with him, and we just ran out of our last keg of that last week. It was really good again. But we've done, Josiah Moody from Moody Brews, Foster's Pints and Plates. We did the Fayetteville Homebrew Club Flops. We did a brew with one of their guys. Who else? Bike Rack Brewing Company, Bentonville Brewing Company, and I always feel like I'm missing one.
People can go to the website and check it out probably and take a look. So this has got to be interesting for you because it brings in variety in your workday. You get to try out new recipes here on the system.
Sure, yeah. It's a lot of fun to have someone to show around and... try new things. Things that I wouldn't necessarily think of and wouldn't necessarily brew myself, but people bring new ideas and it's nice.
Now, my recipe is not so adventurous. Being the cream ale, it's kind of I call it the poor man's pilsner. What did you think of the recipe or what did you think of the concept?
Oh, I thought it was great. We did, with Bike Rack, we did a hoppy pilsner and... it was just 100% Pilsner malt. So I thought this was going to be great because we were using a little flaked maize, so that'll bring up our alcohol content a little bit. And I thought the hoppy Pilsner had a little more body to it, and I'm excited to try this. Especially I'm going to put some kegs on nitro, so I think that'll be really, really good for the fall.
Cool. And I think the corn dries it out a bit as well, adds a little bit of alcohol, but also dries it out a little bit, makes it kind of a more refreshing beer. Now let's compare notes here. You're scaling up my 5-gallon batch into a 10-barrel batch, right?
Right, and a barrel is 31 gallons.
Right. So you put more we put more grain in the mash tun today than probably I've ever brewed in my life. So, yeah. So let's compare notes. I had 9 pounds or 4 kilograms of two row.
We were going to have 600 pounds of our base malt pail, but my grain didn't arrive in time, so we've done 490 pounds of pail and 110 pounds of Pilsner. So that's comes out to 600.
So a little bit of difference there in the volume. And then I had 1 pound or 450 grams of flaked maize.
And I had 70 pounds.
That just sounds ridiculous. And I know this is a small, a fairly small brewery. So, you know, it's a good size brew pub brewery.
Sure.
But as far as professional production breweries go, it's, you know, it's fairly small. So I'm sure my mind would be blown further if
this system is designed to run 24 hours a day if we ever reach that capacity. We'll have to get more tanks, of course, but this is a very robust system.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, now I had 2 ounces of Czech Saaz for 60 minutes and then 1 ounce of Czech Saaz at flame out.
We don't have any saws in stock, but we've got Hercules, which is 16.1% alpha acids, and I've got 22 ounces of that at the boil, and Hallertau Mittelfru, I've got 16 ounces of that at flame out.
And I used a little packet, which is probably, 10.5 grams of Nottingham dry yeast, rehydrated.
And I've got the 500-gram packet. Those are the only two sizes they make, so you pick one or the other.
It looks like a Brian Sorensen from the Fayetteville Flyer, who's going to do an article on this brew, he said it looked like one of those vacuum-packed coffee bags, and that's probably a good description.
Yep.
How did you scale up the recipe?
Actually, I used Beersmith. I kept the same. We have our system kind of dialed into Beersmith. You can adjust pretty much every little detail of the brew. So I just scaled it up using that and tried to match your original gravity and your IBUs.
Cool. And my original gravity, I didn't write down for that batch. It came out at what did you see as the original gravity?
Yours was 1053, and we always use Play-Doh, so that's about 13 Play-Doh.
Right. And I see on my notes that I wrote down 13 on that on the original gravity there. So, came out to be around 5% alcohol. So, you know, it's not. I guess you wouldn't classify it as a session beer, but it's fairly drinkable for you know, for craft beer nowadays.
Yeah.
And you guys serve food as well, so, and you'll be distributing this beer too?
Yeah, it's possible that our distributors, Arkansas Craft, they usually pick up a lot of our one-off batches and our special seasonal stuff, so I have no idea. I just
you just brew the beer, and somebody else takes it from there.
I fill up the kegs, and then they put it on the truck, and who knows where it goes from there.
I'll have to ask Sammy that.
Yeah.
But give us some background on yourself as a brewer.
Okay, I homebrewed for about 10 years. I went to school for civil engineering, and I don't know if you know anything about treating water and wastewater, but it's remarkably similar to brewing beer. So even the tanks are the same shape.
Huh. Well,
except,
we
bigger and made of concrete and little stainless steel guys.
Well, we did a show recently with a group that's doing a contest. A homebrew contest using treated effluent, so as the brewing water. So
fantastic! Yeah,
so there you go.
Yeah,
that doesn't surprise you.
No, not at all.
You're not using that here today.
No, we use Beaver Water District. It's great water.
And I think some treated effluent from Fayetteville does go into Beaver Lake. So I guess in a sense you are using treated effluent water.
Yeah, it comes full circle eventually. It goes to a stream, and you know the streams do what they do, and then it rains and all comes back to Beaver Lake. So yeah.
So you studied engineering, but you took a left turn or a right turn? Which would you say? And getting into brewing, you deviated off the course.
You know, I don't really like office jobs, I guess. So I like working with my hands, and this is kind of perfect. I really like it. Yeah.
But this isn't your first brewing gig.
No, I worked at West Mountain Brewing Company, which is on the square, part of Tim's Pizza, and Andy Coates, who now. He left there to start Ozark Beer Company, so he taught me everything I know about brewing on a large scale.
That's a good place to learn.
Yeah, yeah, he's got some fantastic stuff. I'm a little jealous.
Well, this is not too shabby down here. I mean, from what I see from the system, and it seems like you've got everything dialed in, and it's kind of a not surprised, but I'm impressed that. There's very little drama in the brew day so far. It seems like you've got everything lined out, and you seem to be kind of the personality that has things lined out and is very organized about the brew day.
Yeah. I worked in a lab in grad school, and it was a water chemistry lab, and everything had to be as perfect as you can get. So a lot of that lab work translates to here, and just taking good notes, writing everything down, helps me learn from batch to batch. And I've been here for a year now, so brewing twice a week. Any mistakes that I've made are mostly not repeating those. So it's been good.
So what other fun things that have you got going on? You were saying you've got a lot of interesting things coming up using fruit and sour beers.
Yeah, we've got an open fermenter. It's named R5D4 for the I don't know if you remember in Star Wars, the very first droid that Luke Skywalker bought that was defective. And then he got R2-D2. It was named after that first one. So it's an open fermenter. We ferment at room temperature. I added, it's about five barrels, so it's not a full batch, but I did a saison in it with some Belgian yeast, and we used a little bit of that sourdough yeast that our baker uses, and that gave it a nice tart punch. And I got 200 pounds of peaches from the local farmer's market. And if you're wondering how long it takes three guys to pit and puree 200 pounds of peaches, it takes 4 hours.
So you decided to puree rather than just throw the whole fruit in?
Yeah, that would have, they probably would have just all floated to the top, and you know, so I'm probably going to add some kind of fining and then siphon it off the top and keg it from there.
So sourdough character, and do you think that there's any character from the peaches themselves? I mean, did you wash the peaches or?
Yeah, we washed all the peaches, but we didn't cook them or sanitize them in any way. It's an open fermenter. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if it does, I'm sure it'll be great.
Well, cool. It sounds like you've got some fun things going on, and it's exciting to see the cream ale go through a bigger system. So we will we'll let you get back to work. Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you.
Sammy Stevenson, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Here we are. The cream ale is going from the mash tun to the kettle. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. Now, this is one of a series of collaborations that you've done with professional brewers and at least one home brewer, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think for the year, you know, you fall somewhere between those, I guess. And then we've had one local home brewing competition. Then we're going to do a statewide homebrewing competition, and so there will be kind of three that are more geared towards that, and then the other 9 months of the year have done or are going to do a collaboration with a different brewer.
Wow, so a collaboration brew every month.
Yeah, that was the goal that we established, I think, last November or December, and yeah, we got it. We're there. I think we're committed all the way out through the end of the year. Yeah.
So yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah, we're there.
So why? I mean, what's in it for you to kind of share your space and to share the spotlight with not only, you know, homebrewers, but other allegedly competing brewers in the area?
There's actually a lot of mutual benefit. You know, we share the costs with the breweries whenever we do this, typically. And we both get to benefit from the exposure, right? Like, I mean, we do a brew with Josiah Moody, we do the Earl Grey ESB, and he has a much better presence than us in Central Arkansas. So that beer gets us in there, it gets his logo out there up here where he doesn't have as much exposure in this market. So that part of it is nice from a financial and marketing perspective. It's also just a lot of fun and really good in general, I think, to build ties in the brewing community to work with each other on a regular basis.
And it seems to be that the Northwest Arkansas and Arkansas as a general brewing community, it seems like everybody's working well together. It seems like everybody's coming together.
Yeah, it's gelled more and more over the past year. I think specifically with kind of some of having some really concrete and kind of unified goals legally has brought together the Brewers Guild that has helped bring together, you know, various breweries. But just in general, it seems like that's kind of how the brewing community is. We've borrowed stuff at moment's notice from other breweries and vice versa, for sure. And, I mean, we just take care of each other.
So what kind of challenges do you guys face on the legislative front together?
So most recently what was addressed on the state level was an ABV issue. Anything over 6.2% ABV was treated as malt liquor. And then, according to Arkansas law, that means that it couldn't be distributed to any private club permit holders. Private club permit holders are all bar owners, any place that serves alcohol but not food. So all the bars on Dixon Street would have to go through a liquor store if they were going to get any beer that was over 6.2%, which was a logistical pain, and it effectively made it cost more for them because there was another middleman. So the Brewers Guild, along with some other initiatives, was able to change the definition of beer in Arkansas state law to up that alcohol percentage, and therefore allow us to distribute our beer directly to private club holders as well. So goals, things like that.
It's interesting when I talk to some people from other parts of the country and other states, they don't realize in a state like Arkansas how restrictive or at least the attitude toward beer and alcohol in general is in the state. I mean, last time I checked, and it's been a little while, there have been some elections between then and now, but at least half of the counties in Arkansas are dry.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, it can be formidable. And even though the current state administration, I think, is fairly conservative, they're very pro-business. Mm-hmm. And so as a guild and a booming industry in Arkansas, we were able to kind of push it from that perspective, and it went right through. But yeah, you're right. They're definitely easier and harder, I think, political environments to produce alcohol in. Thankfully, though, really Arkansas has some pretty good laws on the books for breweries and brew pubs that really favor people that produce in state. So again, that's pushing like the, you know, support local kind of agenda over focusing on the fact that we're producing alcohol to avoid some of those touchier political issues.
on the negative side, there was an issue on the ballot recently. That would have legalized alcohol sales across the state.
Yeah, de facto wet, like making the baseline wet, and you have to vote yourself dry as opposed to the other way around.
And that failed. Yeah. But on the positive side, places like Benton County, which was dry forever, became wet. And, you know, there's been something, you know, something as simple as Sunday liquor sales in Springdale.
Yeah.
And yes, folks, you can't go to the liquor store. You can't buy beer. You can't go to the grocery store even and buy beer or wine on Sunday in Arkansas. So
yeah, only breweries get that honor. We can still sell growlers to go.
That's right.
And that's about.
That's an advantage to you guys.
That's one of those conservative laws that actually doesn't bother me too much. On a basic principle level, I disagree with it completely. Right. But on a business level, I mean, it gives us a niche market. So that's all right with me, I guess.
Well, it's getting.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. We got Sunday liquor sales in Springdale, which is better than driving to Missouri, which is what we used to have
right.
to do.
And you're seeing that in townships and various municipalities, kind of step by step, right? Like now you can sell beer and grocery store beer and wine in grocery stores, and that's a fairly new thing here. And it seems like, you know, just bit by bit. We can't change everybody all at once, but.
Well, we're getting there. Well, to tell you how old I am, and when I was a kid, the blue laws in Arkansas were so strict that we went to the grocery store on Sunday, and you only could buy essentials. I tried to buy some notebook paper for school the next day, and they wouldn't let me buy notebook paper on Sunday.
Ridiculous. Yep, no comment. Wow.
So there you go.
And so I said, progress, right?
Yeah, and they said, well, it's not an essential thing. I said, I that's essential for school tomorrow. I need it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
So anyway, things are going good, and I'm excited that you know that my recipe, or at least a beer based on my recipe, is running through the system, I'll be really really excited to see what people think about it.
So will I, yeah. We look forward to it. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks, Sammy.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Marcus, if we had a flash-forward sound, we could play that right now, because it's been a while since we got together. How long has it been since we had that brew day?
Today is the 15th of October, and we brewed on the 21st of August, so okay. Around 2 months.
And take us through the process. When we left, you had pitched yeast into the fermenter, and how did fermentation go?
It went really well. Looks like we reached almost our final gravity within about 5 days. We do gravity in Plato here, so we started at 12.6, and in 5 days we were down to 1.8, and that dropped just a little bit more over the next couple of days, down to a final gravity of 1.4.
So multiply that by four, and you'll get an approximate, you know, 1 point. What would that be? 1 point or 1.00 or anyway, we'll figure that out later. I don't do math before lunch. So what happened after that? What did you do with the beer?
Let's see. So we did that a diacetyl rest, I believe, at some point in there. And I don't have a note of that, but I'm sure I did it. I just forgot to write it down. Mm. So then I cooled down the tank to 34 degrees, and we didn't keep any of the yeast, so we dumped the yeast. And we transferred and filtered it. We carbonated it to 1.7. I'm sorry, we transferred and filtered into a bright tank. So that's a flat-bottom tank. Mm. So we carbonated in the bright tank. We carbonated up to 1.7, forced carbonation through a stone, up to 1.7 volumes of CO2. Then we took two half-barrel kegs, set them aside for our nitro tap, and then we carbonated the rest of the beer up to 2.7 and kegged the rest of it.
Which cool.
We will be pouring that on CO2 later, but our nitro tap opened up early, so it's on nitro right now.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I can't wait to try it. We're going to have lunch, and we're going to try it out on the nitro. How do you perceive it? Did it come out the way that you expected?
Yes, absolutely. It's a nice, smooth American ale. Yeah. we had a relatively simple grain bill, so that came through in the beer. Not too much hops aroma, and not too bitter. Just I think we got it just right, honestly.
And the weather is cooperating. You know, I envisioned this as a warm weather beer, and it's still like about 80 degrees outside, and we're halfway through October.
Yeah.
But I think it'll drink good as well in the cooler months as well.
Yeah, it's a 6%, so it'll keep you a little warm anyway.
And I'm going to take a keg of it home today, and so we'll have we'll have an opportunity to taste it. I've got some bottles at home of my original recipe, so we'll be able to do a side by side on CO2.
Okay.
At the house.
Great.
So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Great.
Well, thanks, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't guess you want to say anything about the beer.
It's good and creamy,
says my wife Susan. I'm here in the dining room. We're about to have lunch, and Marcus has given us a couple of pints of the cream ale on nitro, and boy, it's really interesting what characteristics the nitro gives as opposed to the CO2. It's less carbonated, but the body is substantial, and the beer is very creamy tasting, as Susan said, and she is right. It's not a hoppy beer, but the hops are present and crisp and well balanced, and I think it's pretty similar to the beer that I brewed at home. If I can pat myself on the back. Nod or shake your head, Susan. Do you remember the cream ale at all, is it similar?
It's similar. This is creamier.
I think that's a good perception. So there you go. Well done, Steve Wilkes. Welcome back to the studio. You're helping me to end this show. Today has been a busy day. I think this is the fourth podcast episode I've participated in today. It's been a busy day.
You're a content slut.
Just call me CS.
CS for short.
Okay, so we've got a keg of the commercial beer on CO2. Yeah. I just played the recording of me tasting the nitro version of the beer. It was very tasty, very creamy. And this is the CO2 version in a keg in here in the studio. And I just poured a bottle-conditioned version of mine next to it that you're sipping. So what do you think?
Well, they're both very good beers. They are a little bit different. The commercial version is a little darker, so the color is a little bit darker. And I get a little bit more of a graininess from the commercial version. I'm not willing to call that corn, but you know, it has a little bit more of a grain taste to me. And otherwise, say the hops seem to be exactly the same. I don't get anything different there. And they're both really tasty beers, but they are just slightly different. What do you think?
Well, I think mine tastes different from when it was fresh. This has been in the fridge for several weeks.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, so that has an impact.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. It is the commercial version, the Apple Blossom version, is like maybe a shade and a half darker. And that may come from the extremely vigorous boil, you know, that they do there, you know, which is good for driving off, you know, DMS precursors and such as that. But man, it's they are pretty close.
They really nailed it. Can this may already be out there in the show, but were they able to use the exact same ingredients that you used?
Not the exact same. They Marcus. In fact, substituted some, I think, Pilsner malt, and he had to do some hop substitution as well. But I think the hop substitution was well done in that there is not a difference in hop character between these two beers.
No, the hops in these two beers are identical to my palate. The Grainville could be a little bit different, and that was kind of driving my question.
Yeah, maybe the addition of just a little bit of Pilsner malt, you know, gives you more the kind of grainy character that you're talking about, but they're very similar.
Yeah,
I think Marcus and Roger there in the brew house at Apple Blossom, they did a very good job.
I think they did a great job. They nailed this beer. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
excellent. Well, we've got. Here we sit
with two kegs of beer.
Yeah, we also have a keg of the Oktoberfest, so which we're supposed to be saving for an event.
Well, we are. It's in about 15 minutes.
Well, there's a beer store down the street. So,
yeah,
no, very, very, very nice, and I'm pleased to share it with you, Steve.
I appreciate it. I got the first pull off the commercial keg that you brought home from the run at Apple Blossoms.
And this is they haven't released the beer on CO2 yet in the kegs, so that you had the first pull off of a CO2 keg of the Apple Blossom James Spencer Cream Ale collaboration.
That's wonderful.
Back to it.
Hang by your thumbs.
Right if you get work. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, James.
Well, thanks again to Steve. And a special thanks to Marcus, Sammy, Roger, and everybody at Apple Blossom. I'm looking forward to the general release. And the little keg that Steve and I sample from, it's gone but not forgotten. And we didn't kill it that day. anyway, what a cool experience. Don't forget to send in your brewing disaster stories for this year's disaster show. You can send those along with any brewing questions or show suggestions. Or if you just want to say howdy or to James at basicbrewing.com, or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our support link. We can throw a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. Get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with any DVD combo. You can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store, too. And remember, more aggressive holiday pricing on our store for the DVDs. And thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Fujitsu ScanSnap S1300i Mobile Document Scanner and Harley Cam Crank Locking Tool for Twin Cam 88. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on our Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We greatly appreciate your support.
Don't forget you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.